Our text for today will be the entire Psalm, Psalm 66. And if you're able, would you stand, please, as I read this Psalm in your hearing. Psalm 66. It reads this way: Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Verse 5. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him, who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through waters, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. All right. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praises were praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And finally, verse 20. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. Amen. Our Father, we humble ourselves before You now. And we seek You, we seek Your face, we seek truth. And so would You draw near to us, bring a special peace over this meeting by the power of the Spirit, enliven and enlighten every heart so that we might be sensitive to what You have to say to us. Speak, Lord, Your children listen. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. All right, as we consider this psalm, I want you to think about these truths. This is a psalm of praise, and it's motivated by God's deliverance of His people, right? God delivers His people, and His people as we just talked about with the children, there's joy there. There's joy because of what He has done. And so this is a psalm of praise because God has demonstrated His goodness, and specifically to Israel. But you and I vicariously get to enter that and apply it to our own lives. Now, the people of God had experienced some tests and some trials in life. Yet God, as He does for His people, had miraculously brought them through it all, right? He had not left them in their misery and in their difficulty, but He's with them and He brings them through it all, okay? And that's, I want you to keep that in mind as we work through the psalm today. As a result of God being faithful to His people, then God's people make a commitment to Him. They resolve to obey Him. They resolve to follow Him, okay? And because He's been good. He's proven that He's worthy, you see, of our obedience. And not only that, as they sing his praises and worship him, they invite others to do the same. Because you and I want our God to be known. You see, he's our God, but we want other people to know our God and to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom just like you and I do, right? And so they invite others in the world to serve and praise the Lord. And so that's the way we're going to progress through this psalm today. I divided our thinking up this way. The first four verses I'm going to call praise and worship. Verses 5 through 12, I brought those verses together to see that what we're doing there is remembering God's deeds, okay? Because worship shouldn't be some mindless activity of repetition. We don't worship just because everybody else is worshiping. Every individual here needs to have a reason to worship. You need to have reasons, you see, to come together. And that's what corporate worship is. It's all of us collectively having our own different reasons, but God has been good to each one, right, in different ways. And so we're going to be remembering God's deeds to us, in this case, collectively. And then finally, we'll be responding to God's deeds and looking at that in verses 13 through 20. So let's begin with this act of praise and worship that we see in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Singing is a fundamental aspect of worship, okay? Now, you notice the psalmist didn't say, sing if you have a melodic, if you are a tremendous singer. He didn't say, sing if you have special skills. He didn't, none of that. You sing because of who God is and what he has done, okay? So singing is fundamental to worship and praise. You see verses 1 and 2? Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. And singing is to be done loudly. I am always amazed. Sometimes you can go to the large churches and you step in there and you just can't wait for congregation singing. And then, you got hundreds and hundreds of people together, and then the congregation singing begins, and it's like a whisper. You think, what's going on? There's been times I sing so loud I'm embarrassed. Have you ever done that? I'm singing. It's like I'm soloing, and I wonder what's wrong. There ought to be, what are you reserving your voice for, right? Sing loud. Amen. Sing loud for the Lord. Amen. Not for each other, for the Lord. Amen. And is that all God is worth? Is this a little whisper? Is that all he means to you? You see? Express. Remember that old song, Express Yourself? Well, in this case, this is godly expression. Express your love for God in your song. Expressions of joy and praise and thanksgiving should be appropriate for the occasion. You notice, no one has to tell fans at a football game that it's time to yell when they score the critical touchdown, do they? Right. Nobody says, all right, you don't have the big sign that comes up and says, it's time. No, you know, it's appropriate for what just happened, right? Or when that right goal is made, or when the play is made right at the, it's just in you, right? The tension is in you. And when it happens, you say, it's time. It's time. And that's what I'm talking about. Your praise ought to be appropriate for the occasion. That's what David is saying here, right? And so, for you and me, the person and work of Jesus is worthy. What he has done, who he is, what he has done, why would I not use my voice for him?
Amen.
The scripture says to live is Christ, to die is gain. He is, he's the center, as the song says, of my joy. He's the basis of it. And so the person, the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, his mighty power, is worthy of praise. And then of course the great glory of God and all his great deeds, it's worthy of glorious praise. That's the reason he calls it, he says, shout. You see that in verse 1? Shout for joy. You remember how Paul said it in Philippians 2? He said that God, speaking of Christ, God has given him a name that is higher than every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, that of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's it. Because he's worthy. And you know how the psalmist says it. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Set your glory above the heavens. Why? Why do we praise him? Because he's so wonderful. He is excellent. His name is excellent. Everything about him is excellent. He possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. There's none like him. None like him. What else would you be saving your voice for if you can't shout for the Lord? What? Tell me what is worth shouting for if it's not the Lord. Right? So don't give God that mealy mouse singing. I'm not being critical. I'm just, if you're gonna sing, do it. Do it. You're not singing, and that's the next thing. You're not singing to people. You're singing to the Lord. See how he says it? Look at verse 3. Say to God. See what he says? Say it to God. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing you. By the way, you do know that these songs were sang, right? Sang. That's the reason they're called songs. They're songs. And so these are lyrics, if you will. And so our words are directed to God himself. God himself. We think about God and his mighty, his awesome deeds toward us. And in particular, the psalmist points out his omnipotence, his mighty power. God is limitless in power to perform anything. And he proves it over and over and over again. Things seen and unseen, God's running things. So the content, and here's the point that I want to emphasize to you. To me, what this means is that the content of our songs are important. You see? If you're singing to God, what you say to him needs to be true. Right? That's the reason I called it, you sing truth to the Lord. You think of how foolish it is for you to be singing this wonderful melodic song that's not true. It may sound good to your ear, but you remember some of the Old Testament pictures? Well, God told Israel that their praise was a stench, that it was disgusting to it. Okay? The only way you're going to know that it pleases God is you got to be speaking truth. Amen. Amen. Saying truth to him. And so you need to always pay attention to the content of music, the content of the song. If you were the words of the song are extremely important. Believers must sing and praise in truth. And believers must sing and praise with truth, okay? You remember how Jesus said it to the Samaritan woman at the well? God is spirit, and those who worship him must what? Worship him in spirit, what? And truth. You can't just say, I'm in the spirit, and I'm just lost in the spirit. If what you're doing is in error, it's not pleasing God. God says that if you're going to worship me, it has to be in spirit and truth. And it can't just be dead truth. You just, all of this stoic, dead, biblical rhymes and verses. If it's not spirit, if it's not being led by the spirit, it's still not pleasing God. You must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And the psalmist here, I believe, is emphasizing truth because the assumption is that if you're going to come to God, you'll be led by the Spirit. Right? So this is what we need to think about when it comes to praise and worship. And then in verses 5 through 12, he begins to give reasons for our praise, okay? Reasons for our praise. You notice, start at verse 10. As we remember God's deeds, don't ever minimize the trials and tests that you have. Don't. When you're thanking God, don't discount trials. Go back and look at them and think about how he used them to get you where you are. I mean, seriously. Think about how maybe that difficulty kept you from really what you were planning, right? As Joseph said, you remember at the end of Joseph's circumstances there with his brothers, he said, you all intended it, what? For evil, but God intended it for good. As a matter of fact, he said, God sent me before you. Now you know the story. I mean, they treated him awful, they put him in a pit, sold him into slavery, all of the injustice done before him. He said, God sent me. In other words, God used every one of those, what you might call abusive situations, God used every one of them to get Joseph where he needed to be. Don't discount trials and tests. If you're going to thank God, you have to thank him for it all. Right? Not just what you perceive to be good. The Bible says God causes what? All things to work together for good. Right? And so the psalmist starts here by looking at trials and tests. You got that? Verse 10? Look at it. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. Look at that. Now, hopefully you saw this before I even comment on it. Who is it that's in control of the trial? God, right? God himself is the one in control of the trial and the test. Isn't that what he says? Look at your Bible. You look at your Bible and you'll see it. You're looking at verse 10. For who? You, O God, have tested us. You got it? You have tried us. Now, if that's not clear enough for you, look at verse 11. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on us. You let men ride over our heads. So you see, it's God who allows, and not only, I know people only say, well, God allowed that trial. This verse says not only does God allow trials, he brings them. He's the cause of them, right? Nothing is outside of God. Nothing. He either rules over it all or he's no ruler at all. He rules everything. He rules. And so the point is that God is fully, he's in full control of everyone involved in my trial. He's in full control of every circumstance, everything. He's in full control of the weather. He's in full control of the rain, the snow, the God knew that the furnace was going out and it's going to be cold. He knew all these. He knew we were going to have these problems long before they took place. Nothing happens by luck and chance. God is in control of everything.
That's right.
He knew that you weren't going to have the finances to do that, you see. That you have to redirect. You ever had to do that? You ever had to shuffle money? It was directed one way and you had to redirect it to make it to the money. Well, God knew that. That's the reason at times it's so frustrating at times when you feel like you finally get a little excess and lo and behold, here comes this thing. But see, think of it. God knew that was coming. Think of how it would have been if you didn't have that little excess or that little savings.
That's right.
And so he's in control of all of our difficulties. Therefore, we must trust him even when the circumstances appear to be unreasonable, unbearable, unreasonable, unjustifiable. Got to trust him because, again, he's in control of it all. He's in control of everyone, everybody, everything. He's in control of it all. And so that's the reason the Proverbs writer would say what? Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Don't lean to your rationale, your reasoning, and trying to figure it out. Just trust him.
That's right.
Trust him.
In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight, right? Now, I know those verses are familiar and easy to roll off the lips, but what the psalmist is saying here is that's what you have to do. There's times you're going to have issues that just are absolutely not rational. You feel like I can't bear up under it anymore. And God says, you got to trust me with this one. Okay. Right? You got to trust me with this one.
And so, remembering God's deeds, we remember his trials and his tests. But then the psalmist says, we also remember his deliverance. Go back up to verse 5. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Go down to verse 12 and look at the second half of verse 12. We went through fire and through water. You brought us out to a place of abundance. God knows how much we can endure.
That's right.
God knows you, my brother, my sister. He knows every detail about you. He knows he knows when you think you've gone as far as you can, as much as you can handle, and then he shows you can handle more than you think. Right? My grace is sufficient. And he shows you, you need more grace? I'll give you more grace. I know you thought you had as much as you could take, but I got more for you. You can go another day. I know you're there. I can't go another day like this. God says, yes, you can.
All right.
Yes, you
All
can. Right. I can't go another week. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. You see? My grace is sufficient. God knows how much we can endure. Now, here's the thing. When God accomplishes his purpose, and there's a purpose for every trial. Amen. God does not aimlessly allow you and I to have experiences in life. You understand this? Don't think that any of your experiences are just inadvertent activities. It's all planned.
That's right.
You see? He's your father.
All right.
You know how it is when you're watching children? You know exactly how much you're going to let them do. They don't know that. They just assume they're just going around. But you know when you're going to stop them. Right? It's already figured. You know when you can't let them get too close to this thing or that thing, or when you're going to call. You know that. So if we have that much wisdom as parents, think of God who knows everything. And so there's no inadvertent activity.
All right.
He knows exactly how much you can bear, and when his purposes are accomplished in the trial, then he stretches out his mighty arm and works a mighty miracle to show you that nobody else brought you out.
Yeah.
Me.
Amen.
I brought you in.
All right.
And what?
I brought you out.
I'm telling you, this is it. This is what we have to get in life. This is the reason this psalmist is rejoicing. You see how, go back to verse 5. You see what he says? He is awesome in his deeds. That's right, brother. I know what you're saying. You see, he said he turned the sea into dry land. Nobody else could have done that but God. He's causing them to think back. You see? He rules, look at verse 7. He rules by his might forever. And then I love verse 9. Who has kept our soul among the living. I know that's right.
All right.
There's no way I would have made it through if God had not been there. If God had not, long before I was saved, he was there protecting. God in my back when I didn't know what was dangerous lurked behind me. When I was as foolish as I could be, he was right there.
Amen.
Taking care. And if he took care of me back then, surely you know that he's going to take care of me now.
All right.
That I'm his and my mind. I got a right mind there and I want to do his will. He's going to take care of me.
He's going to take
care
of it.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then you notice, see what he says? We went through the fires, through the waters, and you brought us out. That's the point. God, he brought you in. He kept you in there, and he brought you out.
Uh-huh.
Through it, brought you through it all. That's the point of the song. Through it all. Through it all. But I got to learn to trust. I got to learn to depend upon it. Through it all, I have to go through something.
Yes.
You can't just listen to the song and just there's joy in the song. You got to go through something in your own life.
All right.
It's got to be your testimony.
Yes.
That's what we're getting to. You see, we're reading David's testimony here, but he's saying you got to have your own.
All right.
That's the reason you have your own test, your own trials, because you need your own testimony. No one and nothing can prevent Almighty God from delivering his people. That's the reason he said, you see that? He says, he is awesome.
Yeah.
And I am telling you, I think I've said this before. Please, would you just reserve that word for God? I hear kids say that all the time. Ooh, that's awesome, and that's awesome. No. God is the only one that's awesome. And so for a Christian, let's just reserve awesome for God.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is awesome. And this psalmist, it says, and what he does is awesome too. You know, you see these sporting events, and they say, wasn't that an awesome thrower? Wasn't that an awesome dunk? And wasn't that? No. You want to see awesome? Come here, let me tell you about awesome. Let me tell you about awesome. Take a sea and make the water stand up like a wall.
Okay.
And then have dry ground where hundreds of thousands of people walk through the middle of the sea. That's awesome.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me, that's better than any dunk you ever saw.
Yeah. All right.
That's awesome. Awesome belongs to God.
Yes.
All right? And so, this is just a summary statement that I wrote. God alone has the power to bring us into our trials. God alone has the power to keep us in our trials. And God alone has the power to bring us out.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is wonderful.
Amen.
That's the reason we trust Him. The same God that brought you in is going to keep you while you're in there. And when time is right, He's the same God that has, it doesn't matter how many people are trying to step on you, how many people are trying to hold you down, how many people are stabbing you. That all that is relevant. When it's time for you to come out, you're coming out.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Yes. Yes. You've seen it over and over and over again. So, and finally, then. After having considered what God has done, then the next issue, obviously, is then what are we going to do about it? What's your response to God's awesome deeds? And so the first thing I see is faithful service. When you see that God has been faithful to you, that ought to spring up inside you a desire to be faithful likewise. Look at verse 13, 14, and 15. After thinking about God's awesome deeds, he says, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. See, now, he's no longer talking about God now, right? It's I. This is what I'm going to do. I've already told you what God has done for me. Now, this is what I'm going to do for God in response to what he's done for me, right? I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. Look at this. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble, right? You know how that works, right? Lord, you know, right? If you just help me get through this one. You ready to do that? I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. And so, when we look at this faithful service, I said, you and I, all believers, are aware of the saving work of Christ, right? We are aware
that if you're a Christian, you know that only Christ could have saved you. It's only his life and his death, his resurrection, that has demonstrated that God is satisfied. Your sins have been paid for, right? The debt has been paid. So you and I know that we are saved by grace. We can't earn it. Obviously, we couldn't live good enough for it. God saved us by grace. He says, I sent my son to do what you couldn't. You could never live a perfect life. He lived it for you. You could never die and satisfy God for your sins. He did it for you. You could never rise from the dead, but he did it for you. And so he's done this for you, and I'm going to save you because of what Jesus did.
All right.
Right? That's the gospel. That's good news. So we were saved by grace. And not only that, God says, not only am I going to save you by grace, I know you're not going to live good enough after I save you even. And so I'm going to keep you, what? By grace.
All right.
I know you're not going to live perfect. You didn't live perfect before you were saved. You're not going to live perfect after you're saved. So it's by grace. I save you. I'm going to keep you by grace.
Amen.
Thank God for grace.
Amen.
So we know that that's the way. And whenever we get delivered from anything, you know it's not because you've been so good. How many people can raise their hand and say, I handled this trial just right? I know the reason God brought me out is because I was right in this. No. He brings you and he delivers you back by grace too.
Amen.
By grace. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
We're aware of our eternal indebtedness to Christ for salvation. And to God for all of his deliverances. Therefore, we, like the psalmist, say to God, Lord, we're going to keep our commitments to Christ out of love, right? Is that what Jesus says? If you love me, do what? You will keep my commandments. Love. And so we're not here out of some weird motivation that it seems like obviously a non-Christian groups are, they have all kind of motivations to serve and to you know, and to go and to work for their group's purposes. But you and I know that we love God because he first loved us. We serve him because he loved us, okay? And so we obey God out of love. But now this is very important, and I noticed this as I was working through this psalm. So make note of this point here. You cannot come to God without Christ.
Amen.
You cannot please God without Christ. None of your service, you see, is of any value without Christ. That's what Christ came to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so many before them. You remember the rich ruler and others that would come and think that they have lived this right life before God. I've kept the law. I didn't lie. I didn't steal. And even in that, they know they're lying. There's no way you lived all of your life and didn't lie. No way. It's absolutely a lie. It's a lie for you to even think it. Right? I don't care who you are. Monk, Pope? I don't care who you are. The Pope lies. Yes, he does.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be. I'm just. That's a fact. Sinners lie. Saved people lie. Hopefully not crassly and not deliberately, but it happens. Even when you thought you were right. My point is, we need Christ. Christ, none of our service is acceptable to God without Christ. So it doesn't matter how good you live. If you don't believe in Christ, if you don't trust him, you see, look at verse 13. This is where I got that from. He says, I will come into your house with burnt offerings.
You see? If you don't come with the offering, then it's not acceptable to God. Right? You're going to serve him. It has to be with the offering. Your offering and my offering is Jesus. Amen. He's the one that paid the price. He's our offering forever.
Amen.
Right? And that's the reason he can say in John 15, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. He's there talking about all that fruit that the believer is to bear. But he said, but listen to me. If it's not in me, all of the fruit you think you're looking at is rotten. The best of your service without me is nothing. So my brother, my sister, listen to it. We please God because of Jesus. Our service here this morning would be nothing if it were not for Christ.
Amen.
We could be in the most eloquent of cathedrals. And if Jesus wasn't in it, it's just a waste of time.
Amen.
But here we are sitting in Jordan's gym. And in the school's wonderful facility, and pleasing God because of Christ.
Amen.
Telling me, this is wonderful.
Amen.
This is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
And then finally, I've been waiting to get to this. Then finally he says that our response to God's deeds ought to be glorious testimonies. Glorious testimony. You see how he says it? Look at verse 16. Come and hear. That's it. Come and hear. And then you see what it says? I will tell you what God has done for my soul.
Right.
Come here. Let me talk to you.
All right.
Yeah. You see? That's the whole point. If God has done anything for you, you need to tell somebody. You can't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell what God has done for me. That's what the psalmist is saying here. I didn't go through all of these things just to keep it to myself.
All right.
You and I would never know about the Red Sea if somebody hadn't told us.
That's right.
We'd never know about Pharaoh if somebody hadn't been willing to tell the story. Right? Never know about Zacchaeus or any of those things if somebody hadn't been willing to tell the story. Come in here, I'll tell you. You see that? I cried to him. And so, because God has done for the believer what no one else could do, believers want others to know that God's been good to me personally.
Amen.
We want others to know. But then the psalmist says, you also need to be aware that people we need to know when God answers your prayer. You see? That's what the rest of this section is about. Look at verse 17. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. Go up to verse 19. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. You see? So we want other people to know God answers prayer. I prayed about it. I've been in this test a long time, but God heard me. It wasn't because these folks changed their mind. Don't start giving the credit to, you see, this one or that one. God heard your prayer.
Right.
You see, that's what David is saying. The credit belongs to God. That's the reason we keep on praying. Right? Continue to pray. Don't give up. I cry in my prayer, and God listened and attended to my prayer. And then finally, the goodness and faithfulness of God must be told. Got to be told. If you don't tell it, this world won't know. You can't assume that you can't just say, well, why don't you go read this? How many times have you done that? And people, you know, people, they just walked away from you and they ain't read a thing. The Bible says, make the most of every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tells you to be ready. What? Be ready at all times.
Right.
Be prepared to give an answer
right.
for anybody that asks you about the what? The hope that's in you. Are you ready?
Right.
Where's your testimony?
Right.
That's what you need to think about. Not mine. Yeah, I got mine. You need to have yours.
That's right.
You say, I don't have one. Yes, you do. If you're a Christian, you've got, not only do you have one, you got several.
Amen.
You need to think about them. Think about how you're going to express them. That's right. Is God worth you being ready to give your testimony? I mean, think about how many people, now I'm not telling you to be phony. You know I'm not telling you that. But how many people, if you're going to give one speech, spend hours. Spend hours giving one, and it may not even be a Christian speech. Think about how much time you spend getting ready to stand up before some folks and say something that they may or may not even remember. How important is it then for you to be sharing something that may change a person's life forever? Brother, sister, this is what I'm saying. Testimonies are important. Come and hear. My lips. God used my lips for his purpose.
That's right.
My lips. Because it's my story, and if I don't tell it, who's going to tell it?
All right. Amen.
Who's going to tell it if I don't tell it? Mm-hmm. Even if I told you, you don't know it like I know it.
All right.
Right? It's like watching a movie. You ever done that? You watch it, and then the next time you watch it, you see something different. That's the way your testimony is. It ought to be alive. I'm not saying I'm not telling you to exaggerate your testimony. It's just that it's living. You see, it shouldn't be some rote, canned speech. I'm not telling you to have that kind of thing. Not some canned speech. I'm just saying, be organized. Think clearly. Know what you're planning to say. Know the truth. I don't know how to say it. Points. Know the important points. Right? Those things that are important. Because I don't want to miss. You ever done that? You're trying to go through something and you say, oh, I missed this important. You ever done that? You missed this important thing. No. You don't want to do it. You may only have one opportunity with your testimony.
Yeah.
Don't miss the important points.
Amen.
Our lips must be used to tell the story. And there's a verse near the end of Hebrews 13. It says, speaking of Christ, then in him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips. Our lips are to be used as a sacrifice of praise to God. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. And I've been waiting to tell you this. I saw Brother Allen this morning, and it's amazing. I didn't tell him, but he was talking about this this little section of scripture over here in Luke 8. And God led me there last night. Y'all know the story. There where God had cast these demons out of this man. Y'all know that story, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the end of it, it just simply says in verse 38, after the man had been set free, it said the man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away. Right? He wanted to be with Jesus and to travel with him. And Jesus says, there's really something more important for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's something more important for you to do than just to go around with this group.
This group has got, this group knows what they're supposed to do. But God says, I need you to take hold of your end of the deal. I got others that are going this route. I need you to go in another direction, right?
What did he say? Return to your home.
Now see, because we're not going to your house. We're not going to your hometown. But you are. And if you don't tell it, they won't know.
That's right.
Yes.
Right?
Return to your home and declare how much God has done for who?
You.
You don't need to tell him what happened to all these other folks. I'm not asking you to do that. All right, see? I'm not. Right now, all I want you to do is go tell him what God has done for you. Now, you ought to know that story.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That ought to be the one that you best qualify.
All right.
And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city.
Yeah. That's good, ain't it? Thousands of demons were in me. I was crazy. Out of my mind.
Yeah.
Nobody could tame me. Nobody. I was crazy. But Jesus found me.
All right. Amen.
Yeah. Now I'm in my right mind.
Yeah.
Right, my right mind. I was as crazy gets. Nobody thought that anything would ever happen to me. No good will ever come out of it. But Jesus saved me.
That's right.
Delivered me. Tell me. Go tell it. And then I won't turn to the last one. But y'all know that in Luke 19, when called the triumphal entry, when Jesus was about to come into Jerusalem, and the people were throwing down their cloaks and things and proclaiming, you know, Hosanna, that he was coming. And the Pharisees got all upset about it. Says, shut them up. You know, what your disciples are doing here? Well, you got to quiet them down. Jesus says, no, you don't understand. If they don't tell it, the stones will cry.
All right.
Christian, come on. You got to tell it. If you don't, somebody will. You're the one that'll miss the blessing. Right? Well, I think you got it. So, I say this to you then as we try to wrap up. This is our calling, brothers and sisters. This is your calling. This is my calling. You and I need to go and tell what great things God has done. Right? We need to go and tell about the awesome deeds that God has done for us. Not just what he did for Israel, not just what he did for the believers back in the first century, but tell it, God is doing great things and awesome deeds in the 21st century.
That's right.
God is doing great things and awesome deeds, not just for other churches, but great things and awesome deeds right here at Trinity at Community Church. Great things and awesome deeds.
Yeah.
Open up your eyes. Open up your mouth and go tell it. God has been faithful in caring for us. We must be faithful in praising him. God has been faithful and truthful in his dealing with us. We must be truthful in our dealings with him. And so I just want you to think for a minute about our life together. In faith, we faced our trials. Right? In faith, we've endured sickness. In faith, we've endured financial problems. In faith, we've endured family problems. In faith, we've endured employment problems. In faith, we've endured isolation. In faith, we've endured rejection. In faith, we've accepted the challenges of finding a long-term building for worship. In faith, we've accepted the challenges of dealing with real estate brokers.
Yeah.
And with honorary property owners and with,
yeah.
With city officials and so much more. In faith, we've accepted our tests and our trials.
Yeah. Yeah.
God has tried us.
Yeah.
God has tested us.
Yeah.
He brought us in. He's kept us in there.
Yeah.
He brought us through. With his mighty power, when the test was done,
yes.
When the purpose had been worked out, he brought us out.
Yes.
He did it. Yes. He did it
yes.
For his own glory.
Yes, he did.
He wants us to open up our eyes and see. It was me.
Yeah.
I tested you. Yeah. I tried you. Yeah. I kept you.
Thank you.
And I brought you through.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
So we can say with the psalmist, come and hear.
All right.
Let me tell you what the Lord has done for my soul.
Yes.
No longer talking about David.
Yes.
I don't need to tell you what he did about David.
Right.
I don't need to tell you about the Red Sea.
All right. All right.
I don't need to tell you about him raising Lazarus and the widow's jar being full.
I don't need to tell you about all this. I'm going to tell you what he's done for me. For me. For me. For this little congregation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes. Jesus. Jesus. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank Open your eyes. See how good God is.
Yes.
He kept our souls. Oh, this is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what David said? He kept our soul among the living. Yeah. That's what he's done. Yeah. Look around you. That's he kept us among the living.
That's right.
Kept us.
Yes,
kept us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Brought us through the fires.
Yeah.
The waters of life.
Oh, yeah.
See, we ain't talking about David and Israel anymore.
Right.
This has been my fires. My water. Your fire. Your water. He brought you through, and he brought us through together. Called us a people together here at Taste That Trinity.
Hallelujah.
Kept us together against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
Hope against hope. God heard us when we cried to him in prayer. And he answered our prayer. He heard us.
Yes, he did.
He answered, brother, you got to open up your eyes. Sister, you got to open up your eyes. He has been answering our prayers.
Yes.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He worked mighty miracles for this little flock.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he has.
Yes.
He's done awesome deeds.
Yes.
Awesome deeds and marvelous things for this little congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So we must tell it.
Tell it.
With our lips.
Hallelujah.
Whenever we get an opportunity,
yes.
Tell it.
Yes.
Praise him with your lips. Praise him with your hands. Praise him with your feet. Praise him whenever you get a chance. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise him.
He's awesome. He's an awesome, an awesome, an awesome God. Only he is. He's done awesome things. Today,
yes, hallelujah.
We give God the glory.
Yes,
we
do.
We celebrate our first anniversary together.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And if you're not a Christian,
yeah.
I bring you some good news.
Yes.
Jesus has come. He's lived for you. He's come.
Yes,
he died for you. He's come. And he's risen. He's alive now for you. And he's ready and able to save you right now.
Amen.
But you must believe.
Yes.
You must believe. Father, what more can we say to you? Lord, you are great. And greatly to be praised.
Yes.
From everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God.
Mm.
Only you can declare, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. And from the bottom of our hearts, to the depths of our souls, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For we know
yes.
you have done awesome.